Thank you, Brother Jesse. Many of you might not know, Brother Jesse wears a lot of hats around here. He's our teenage leader, youth leader. And probably back there on the tape counter, it's probably the Sword of the Lord, the Revival Fires, those good papers you ought to read. You ought to read them every week if you can. But there's an article in the Sword of the Lord by Brother Jesse. How many of you have seen that? Brother Jesse, they don't read much around here. You should read that. He done a real good job, a short message in there to young people, warning about some of the devil's tricks on these social platforms that they all are hooked on and addicted to with these cell phones. And he makes some really good points. I'd encourage you to read it. That's not the sermon. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs with me this morning. We're going to ask you to go to Proverbs chapter 13. And I'm going to speak to you this morning. I hope to speak to you on the subject of renewing our hope. Now, just because I'm going to read one short verse for a text, do not get your hopes up. Amen. Chapter 13, because there's other verses in the Bible I can give to you. Proverbs 13, verse 12. I believe that's the one I want. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I think it'd bear reading twice. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now, I appreciate Brother Parsons asking me to speak today. And somebody said, where is he at? Well, he is preaching off, but can you spell grandbaby? He's probably about 2 hours from where that grandbaby is. How many of you believe he's going by there? I do too. Amen. Our hope, renewing our hope. Somebody said hope springs eternal. And I don't know. I did hear about some politicians. I think it was President Biden and Nancy Pelosi. And I don't know. Two or three others decided they'd celebrate some of this socialism they've passed. So they'd go on a fishing trip. So they all loaded up on a boat, but the news is that the boat sank. And somebody said, was there any hope of any of them being saved? No, but there's great hope in the nation now. Amen. All right, I'm playing around with you. I want to look at this verse a little bit. I want to kind of take it apart and go through it a little bit and believe God will have us see something maybe here today. Proverbs has some deeper truths. It's practical truth. It's a contrasting truth. It often contrasts what is right and wrong in the same verse. And the little word but is used a lot in the book of Proverbs, because when you see that word, whatever's been said and it says but, then it's crossing the street to the opposite side or the other side of the truth. So it's helpful to us. It's a book you ought to read on a personal basis quite often. It'll give you a lot of business advice. It'll give you a lot of friendship advice. It'll give you a lot of advice how to cope in this old sin-cursed world. So it is good for us to read. People will pay great money to go sit down or lay down on the couch in front of a psychiatrist when the Bible here has got more than they ever thought about being able to tell you. Amen. But you know, we're going to look at this one verse. Notice the word here says deferred. Deferred. Now, we understand kind of what that means. Postpone. Put off. Something more important took its place. We understand that. Now, the verse says when that hope is deferred, the disappointment can make your heart sick. Sick of heart. That's a sickness you can't give a pill for. You know that? It's something deep. Is something lasting, is something real. Deferred, sick, comes from it. That's talking about the inside feelings. Let me just drop this on you. How many of you ever had your feelings hurt? Huh? Now let me ask you a question. If your feelings got hurt, what was it hurting? Was it your liver? Your kidneys? Was it your gallbladder? Now all those things may hurt, but that's not what we mean when we say hurt feelings. We know what hurt feelings are. The closest thing I could say to it is you hurt deep. You hurt in your soul. You ever see a little baby, and we've all seen this. You do a little, and the baby primps up its face, and somebody says, "Oh, the little thing has feelings hurt." Come on. I still see some babies every now and then, 40, 50, 60-year-old, primping up, hurt feelings. Woe is me, amen? But we do get hurt feelings. So what's hurting? Is it a kidney? Is it a gallbladder? No, it's not. It's something the surgeon couldn't take out. It's something that's deep, and it's something that's real, and it's something that's painful. And we sometimes use words like, "My heart is sick," or "My heart is broken." We understand that kind of a terminology, no doubt about that. It's not like hitting your thumb with a hammer. We understand that pain. That's the body. That's the flesh. That's physical. But we're talking about something we got deep inside. And that's what he's talking about here when it says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sick all over, deep inside. That sort of thing is what I'm talking to you about here. And it speaks of the word hope in this text. Now, let me say this. Hope is necessary for life. Did you know that? Sometime you'll say, "Well, he's given up hope. He's going to die." Or somebody said, "You've never whipped until you lose hope." And I understand that. Hope is necessary. It motivates us. It keeps us going. And when we lose that hope, disappointment comes in. Pain comes in. There's a feeling that comes in, and it's common to man. Now, I can go down the list with you this morning on some of this, and I'll go ahead and simply say this, that all of us have what I'm talking about this morning. At one time or another, we've been heartsick. At one time or another, we have a broken heart. At one time or another, we've hurt deeply. Maybe something we couldn't put in words. That sort of thing is real, and it is common to man. Now, we joke about it a lot. I heard about the fellow said he wanted a new car, and he told his wife, he said, "My heart is set on that car." She said, "Good, because that's all your parts that's going to ever set on it." You understand what I mean? And the truth of the matter is, we use it slangly sometime and in different kind of strange and funny ways, but it is common to man. Now, you think about when you're heartsick, you've been disappointed. Something you wanted. Hope's been deferred. It's been postponed. It's put aside. And something else that's come in, and the lack of what you expected or wanted or believed was right, all of a sudden, you're hurting from it. You're hurting from it. Let's go down the list today. You remember we all started off with dreams, you know, as young people. Our parents, if they love us, and our teachers and others, they're encouraging us. They're trying to build us up. They're saying you're going to be a success. They're saying you can do whatever you want to do. And all of that is good and fine. And we build up our hope, don't we? But sometimes hope gets deferred. It gets sidetracked. Postponed, that sort of thing. Let me ask you this. You might be out there, and I'm talking somewhat to everybody now, but to us older folks, how many, and I want to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you remember when you graduated? Boy, oh boy, we were proud that night. Looked funny with that stupid hat on and dress. But anyway, everybody told us we were going to be a success. Oh, they come around and, oh, you know, build you up. And they would say, "What kind of career? Where are you going to college? What are you going to do?" I got so sick and tired of that because I wasn't going to do any of it. By the way, did you see the stats? I'm hitting some stuff all that long. But you see the stats where most folks that go to college and spend thousands for a degree, by the way, we're paying for that now. But thousands for a degree and then go out and get a job, it's got nothing to do with the degree or the college they went to or the money they wasted. All right, I could battle there a long time. But the truth of the matter is, our hope got shattered, got shipwrecked, it got deferred somewhere. We think about that. I remember after graduating, I'd gotten me an afternoon school job, and when I graduated, I got a full-time job with the same company, and the guys that had been there 20 and 30 years, they'd come up to me, "Mickey, what are you going to do? What's your career going to do? What are you going to go off? What are you going to study?" And I wanted to say, "I'm going to study how to make my car payment this month. That's what I'm going to study." And that's what I did. I didn't have much choice about it. I remember some of them old guys that come up to me, and they'd been working 20, 30 years for the company, and they'd say something like this: "Son, if you'll just pay attention and work hard, one day you can have my job." And I'd look at him and say, "Why would I want your job?" Huh? I mean, isn't it amazing how we do that, people? But the disappointments came. Now, truth of the matter is, it happened to all of us. We might have had a dream. We might have had a hope. We might have had a vision. And maybe something happened to it. And it went down, and our hope got deferred. And I take it from graduation. How about marriage? Oh, boy, I'm going to marry the prettiest girl in the world. I'm going to marry me a prince in shining armor. You married a mouse in a tin can. Right? Hope got deferred. Maybe the heart is still sick over that. I don't know. A couple of young men in church, and you know, you hear pretty sing songs in church, you hear pretty girls sing and others, and he told his buddy, he said, "I'm gonna marry that girl right if she's while she's singing." He said, "Why would you marry her? She's not very pretty. In fact," he said, "she's kinda ugly." He said, "Yeah, but she sang so pretty." They did get married. First morning at the breakfast table, he was reading the newspaper, and she came in, and without all those artificial makeups, he looked, he said, "Sing quick." Now, I'm being mean, but look, I don't get a chance at you very often. Yeah. All right, she did. Keep hoping for this sermon, will you? It may get deferred. No, the marriage might not turn out right. And the disappointment came. And maybe you have a sick heart of how your life turned out. Talk about marriage. In my case, of course, my wife and I just celebrated 65 years. So in God's grace, we must have done something right. Amen. And I do appreciate the church for doing all they did for us. That was wonderful of you. But I remember when we were dating, and I asked her to marry me, and we were talking about it, and I said, "Now, I want you to understand, I've got a new job here. I'd quit the race car, and I'm running the bulldozer. I'm clearing the woods, and I have to eat breakfast at 5:30 in the morning and get on out to the job at 6 a.m. I said, "So, I want you to know that's what to expect." She said, "Oh, if we just love each other, it'll be all right." It was all right for about a week. And then reality hit. Amen. Now, this verse has got something that really talks to us about true life, don't it? "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." Sadly, that is true. Heart sick. That's deep pain, folks. That's deep hurt. Deep hurt comes, and the one that can hurt you the most is the one you love the most. Did you know that? And deep hurt, kids go astray. Kids you had plans for. Kids you had hopes for. Kids you had a vision for. Kids you were raising right, and somehow they went astray. Kids, I want to tell you, you ought to think on that, because one day you may be a parent too. And sowing and reaping plies all across the board. It's a truth you can't get away from. But the truth of the matter is, the pain comes from the ones that we love the most and we think should love us the most. And it's a terrible thing. I, as a pastor, I've tried to help parents so much in my ministry. Much of it has to do with family situations. Often it's sickness, it is death. But even worse than death sometimes is what the heart sees as betrayal of those that you put your heart into, that you love the most and should love you the most back. I've been there when a kid was born, at the very birth. I've been with the crowd that stood around the window and goo-gooed at them. Wonder they ever learned to talk the way we talk to them when they come into the world. But I've been there. Then I've been with those same parents as the kid grew up, and they got proud of the child, and rightfully so, and glad his name's on the honor roll, and glad he excelled at this in school and that, and rightfully so. We've been there, we've seen that, and our hopes were building and building and building. And I remember a good friend. He was raising his son right, no doubt about it. I'd call his name. Some of you would know. It's been years, and I would not do that. But I remember when that kid tragically got sick and almost died, and all the churches and others was praying for him. And God did answer prayer, and he did come through it. It was a struggling time, and he began to excel again, and that dad and mom were so proud of him and seemed to be doing so good. But something happened. Something happened. I don't know where the devil got in, but he got in, and somehow he did. And all the hope of a great life and a great use of it came crashing down. And it was not publicly known, and still isn't by many. But I heard the man speak, and I'd heard him many times. And I went home and told my wife. I said, something's wrong. I heard Brother So-and-so this morning, and he didn't say it, but he's heartsick. He's hurt deep. He's really hurting inside. I don't know what it is, but let's pray for him, because something's gone wrong. His spirit is not the same. His countenance is not the same. He's hurting deep, deep, deep inside. And after a period of time, I found out my worst fears was right. And he did come to me and talk to me about it a little bit. And what had happened was the hope had been deferred off. It was not there anymore. He didn't see any hope. And he had a sick heart, and it changed his whole life. And we've seen some folks that's been there. We hurt with them. We hurt for them. A sick heart. There's no pill to give for a sick heart. There's no surgery that fixes a sick heart that Scripture is talking about here. Not kind of heart like that. You know, as a pastor, I've tried to help in those situations, and it's a bad thing to see. And we none of us want to see that. But we have seen it, and it's reality. And that's what the verse is talking about. Yeah, hope deferred, hope lost, postponed, sidetracked, produces a sick heart because the expectations are not met. But you know, the rest of the verse, thank God, there's another part to the verse. The rest of the verse over there tells us, but when the desire cometh, the desire, what desire? The desire of what the hope was about. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It's renewal. It's victory. Oh, listen, isn't it wonderful sometime to be able to celebrate with somebody that's really had an answered prayer, really had a victory, really seen things fall together and come right and things fixed up? Have you been there? I mean, it's almost like it happens to you when you can rejoice with somebody else over something like that, when you can see that sick heart changed and renewed and hope shining on the face again and in the life again. You know, when the desire cometh, talking about renewing life, we got all kind of examples in the Bible. In Luke chapter 24, it's after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, you hear... You read a story, and the women have gone to the tomb. They have found it empty. They have come back and told the disciples. The word has begun to spread. But we have the story of two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember? Road to Emmaus. One of them's named, the other one's not. But on the road to Emmaus, they're walking. They're walking sadly. They're talking. They're sick of heart. They have been disappointed. Their hope has been deferred. And a stranger joins them and begins to walk up to them and begin to talk. And he asks them this question: why are you so sad? And they say, oh, you're a stranger around here. You don't know what's happened in the last few days. And they begin to tell him about Jesus. Oh, they begin to tell him he was our hope. We believed he was the one that would redeem Israel. And we had hope. And see, they had seen the crucifixion. They'd seen him mistreated. They'd seen the one that never done anybody any harm be harmed as nobody else was. One that had never mistreated anybody be mistreated as nobody was ever mistreated. They had seen the evil take place. They'd seen the injustice. They'd seen it all. And now they had a sick heart because their hope was gone. And they walked down that dusty road to the village of Emmaus. And when Jesus joins them, they don't recognize him. And he says, why are you sad? And they begin to tell him all this. And finally he said, oh, you foolish. Shouldn't Christ have suffered these things and be raised again to his glory? And he began to talk to them. He was telling them God was still in charge. He was telling them what they thought was a defeat was really a victory. It was. Oh, they said later, when he talked to us, didn't our hearts just burn within us? Oh, they left that conversation. They went into the house and they recognized him at the time of breaking bread, and he disappeared from them. But when he left, they had a renewed heart. He was no longer sick. It was no longer defeated, no longer disappointed. It was victory time. And I want to say to you and I today, we ought to get over this sick heart, whatever made it sick. Because victory is ours if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, he lives. He did defeat death. He is coming back. Oh, yes. The world today doesn't recognize that. And all the hurt that all the injustice is bringing now. And it's awful. We hate to see folks mistreated. We hate to see an unlevel balance. We hate to see a double standard. All that we're seeing. But that's not all of it, folks. Listen, there's a tree of life. There's a renewal coming. And thank God, I don't believe it's going to be much longer. I read a verse over in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Just let me read it for time's sake. It says over here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Here we are back to hope. We got a blessed hope coming, folks. Oh, you got a sick heart? You lost your hope? No, no, no. If you're saved, you got a blessed hope, a blessed promise, a blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can renew a sick heart if you'll think on what the Lord has done. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't know, but when they did find out, it changed them. And if you and I understand, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. This old sin-cursed world is not the winner. The devil is not going to win. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. We can have our hearts renewed. Amen. You know, you say, I've heard second coming preaching all my life. Yes, but it's closer than the first time you heard it. Much, much closer. I see why it's called here. When we look at this, and it's called the blessed hope. It's the answer. It's the victory. I don't think it's much longer before the Lord's coming. I was talking a little bit this morning there with Brother Carl Smith back there, and he reminded me again. He said, you know, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets, is this month we're about to start, called September. Ah, yes, that's good. Feast of the Trumpets. One day the trumpet's going to sound. Feast of the Trumpets was a feast of the Jews, but it was a feast that pictured the resurrection. You know, when Jesus comes back, those that are saved are coming out of the graves. The bodies are going to meet the soul in the air and be reunited with the Lord. And I don't know exactly when he's coming, but I've got every reason in the world and every scriptural reason to believe it's soon. Must be soon. Yes, it may be on Rosh Hashanah. We believe that's the Jewish Feast of the Trumpets. It'll probably be fulfilled. You got a few days yet. What is it? Let me see. Is it the 25th? Plenty of time. I'm joking a little bit, but not much. I have my heart renewed every time I think that he's coming soon. Amen. I really do. I really do. That renews my hope. Interesting, if Bible students, Bible believers that know something deeper about the Bible, something about what was the Old Testament feast that had to be fulfilled and how Israel is a picture of a lot of things for us, and how Israel as a nation, as a Jewish people, yet have a seven-year period ahead of them. We Christians call it the seven-year tribulation period. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 calls it the day of Jacob's trouble. Daniel tells us it's 7 years long. You see, God dealt with seven. Seven was always his completion number in the Bible. He created the creation in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 over there, he said 1,000 years with the Lord is one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. And the old timers said that means creation will run 6,000 years and the seventh will be 1,000 years, the millennial reign of the kingdom of Christ on planet earth that we pray about in the so-called Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come all the time, it's coming. He's going to rule and reign. Revelation 20 says for 1,000 years on planet earth. Isaiah says the lion and the lamb will lay down together. And the curse will be lifted and the rose bush won't have any thorns. And bless God, we're going to have a renewal. You and I can have a renewed heart when we understand and believe that. Sure we can, no matter the disappointment, no matter the hurt. Oh, you can be renewed. It's a tree of life. If you trust and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not trying to set a date by no means. I just believe he's coming soon. We're in 2022, and those that play with the calendar know some things about that. 2022. This year of 22 is the first year of a package of sevens. I said again, God deals with sevens, deals with sevens, deals in creation with sevens, created the world in 7 days. In this world we look around, there's only seven notes of music on the piano. There's only seven colors in the world. Everything else, all other shades come from that. Your cells in your body's changed every 7 years. The torso that you have, we call a body, has seven appendages to it. Your head has seven holes in it. Some of you may have more. They're trying to drill another one right here for me. But all joking aside, God works by sevens. And he's working by sevens on this thing of the eschatology, of the teachings of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling all that was predicted of him. So we Christians don't have any need to have sick hearts, dragging our lip. We're the winners. I don't care what package they passed in D.C. I care what God's package is. And it's good. It's good. Oh, yeah, 2022. Yeah, this is a seven-year package. We're about to finish it up and start another one. And this another seven that's coming up, could it be the seven-year tribulation period for the Jews? It would be for us. Christians going to be called out. We're the church. We're the bride. We're not. The Jewish nation has got the tribulation period for 7 years ahead of them. It's the day of Jacob's trouble. I just said that. So what are you doing, trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to encourage you.
If you're already saved and something has disappointed you and your heart's been broken and it's sick, it's not over yet. Jesus is coming. He's the answer. In the meantime, I'm going to think on what I have to rejoice about. I'm going to think on the victory. I'm going to look forward to my Savior coming back. And all that he's given me here has been good. But as we say as old timers now, the best is yet to come. Amen. I ask you today, where's your heart at right now? If it's discouraged, get over it. Get over it by turning it over to the Lord. If you're here today and you've never been saved, my friend, you are playing Russian roulette with your soul. The trumpet sounds, it'll be no longer a gospel preacher telling you to come down the aisle and receive Jesus. It'll be too late. You'll believe the strong delusion that the devil will have, and you'll be left behind. And there'll be no church like this one for you to go to and hear the gospel of the grace of God to be saved. This morning, you can be saved. I beg you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him. The one that died on the cross for you. The one that rose from the dead. Showing the payment had been accepted that he made for you on the cross. He'll receive you today. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I'm glad he didn't put a name. He said, whosoever. It's you and you and you and me. Whosoever may come. Have you come? Have you trusted Christ? Is he your Savior today? The world may defer your hope, but in Jesus it's a tree of life. It's victory. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we've preached more to your people this morning, but if there's one here without Jesus, I want them to know they can receive Christ. There's time. They can be saved today. But Father, if you come, if the trumpet sounds and they're left behind, they're not going to have that chance. I pray for the brokenhearted Christian today that we'll get our eyes above the problem, above the hurt, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for that one that knows not Christ as Savior, that they will not take a further chance, live another day, another week, without the Lord Jesus. May you bless the invitation today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. I want you to know today that the invitation is just as real right now as it was when we read it in the Bible. When Paul preached and the gospel was given and people got saved. When Peter preached and the gospel was given and people got saved. You can still be saved today. Pray you'd come and receive Christ this morning. We pray in Christ's name and ask that you do it.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come this morning?
Thou bidst.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We're seeing things happen in this world today to shut down the gospel, close up the churches. Thank God they're still open. You can still hear the truth. You can still come. You can still be saved. You look to the world and you'll wind up hurting. You look to the Lord Jesus. He's the victory. He's the help. He's the hope. The only hope we have. He is the blessed hope, the scripture said. Blessed hope. Let's bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. The invitation's still open. You say, well, preacher, I had plans when I graduated and they didn't materialize. I had plans for my marriage. It didn't work out. I had plans for my kids to grow up and do this, that, and it didn't work out. I want to point you to the one that has a plan that's never failed, never will fail. Are you in on his plan? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We live in an old sin-cursed, fallen world. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to good people. But the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him really? Genuinely, do you know him? Not talking about your church membership or baptism. I'm talking to you about, do you personally know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the answer. He's the encourager of all encouragers. He's the one that can fix a broken heart. He's the answer. He is the blessed hope. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you about joining the church. You're born again. You know you're saved. You ought to belong to his church. The way you treat the church downhill tells God a lot about how you feel about him. Maybe you ought to come to join. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. You ought to present yourself for baptism. And again, as I spoke more to Christians this morning, whatever that problem is, whatever that pain, whatever that sick heart is about, it's not bigger than God. Take it to him. Brother Bert, lead us in just one more verse, and this will be all if no one comes.
Just as I am, though tossed.
Isn't it good he'll take you just as you are, but he'll make a difference in the way you are. He won't leave you just as you are. He'll make a change. A good change. A lasting change. I want to say this again. Brother Parsons asked me to speak to this gauge over here tonight a little bit, and that's kind of what I'm going to do, kind of inform you a little bit. And we don't want to answer all the questions you have because we don't have all the answers yet, but we will be talking to you along about various things. And I will say this. Some members of our church that was in the very foundation of it for so many years, call names that you'd recognize, Brother Mike Pritchard, Herman Hill, even preacher you would remember, Dr. Lee Robertson of Tennessee Temple. He would come and speak for us sometime and know a little bit about us. And Dr. Lee Robertson would say, Brother Carter, you got to do something to preserve this. You got to pass this on, what God's done here. And that's what we're talking about in the Museum of the Ministry. I'll say it again tonight. It is not about me. It is about what God has done. And I certainly didn't do it by myself. So many held up my hands and worked side of me. And let me say this, I've been supposedly retired here now, a year and a half or whatever. It's been going on. It's been growing. In spite of COVID and all the other stuff, the ministry has continued to enlarge and grow and do the job. And so Landmark, we're not doing this to put a tombstone on it and say this is it. We want to say, we're just getting started. Amen. So you said the Lord was coming a while ago. That's okay. I'd like for him to catch us right in the middle of doing something that I'd like for him to catch us. Actually, we just planned the next 5 years. Amen. He could interrupt it anytime he wanted to. Amen. Heard the preacher say that the other night. That's good. Come back tonight and we'll say a little bit about it tonight. Brother Perkins, dismiss us, please.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Father, we Thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that we have a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and that we're not dependent on the things of this world. Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight.